A man in New Jersey is being prosecuted by federal officials for pointing a laser into the cockpit of a small plane last month. The laser he used was green, normally used for stargazing. FBI and FAA officials say the laser could have interfered with the pilot or with aeronautical instruments. We've called ophthalmologist and retina specialist Dr. Raymond Iazzi of the Kresge Eye Institute at Wayne State University, and he joins us now to tell us how commonly lasers can affect the human eye. Dr. Iazzi, thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
What kind of lasers can you or I buy in the store? Anything powerful enough to actually hurt anybody?
Well, actually, many of the laser pointers that we use during lectures could, in fact, damage our eyes if we were to look directly at the beam. But these are devices that typically would require someone to look right at the center of the beam and with relatively close proximity. So while lasers pervade our society, we find them in our CD players and our computers and in our laser pointers, most of the lasers that could cause damage are enclosed by the case of the device. And these laser pointers, used properly, shouldn't cause problems, but if they're directed at the center of the retina, they have been known and reported to cause some scars and even some permanent visual defects.
But Dr. Iazzi, as you say, they need to be pretty close, don't they?
Well, you know, one thing about a laser is that you have to aim it at the eye in order to get the eye to receive the light. These laser pointers, as we know, have very small divergence. That means the beam doesn't get a whole lot larger mm-hmm. from the point at which it exits to the point at which it hits the screen. So in the case of a laser pointer, you'd have to have precise aim. If an individual were to aim a laser beam at an aircraft, one of the big challenges, of course, would be to get the laser beam to point directly at the cockpit. It would have to enter the window of the airplane, which would be a significant task as these planes obviously are moving fast. And, of course, it would have to scatter around the cockpit in all likelihood. But to cause the greatest harm, it would probably have to hit the eye of the pilot.
And again, not an easy thing to do, almost by chance at that point, impossible to control that kind of thing from the ground.
Certainly. However, while there are low-power lasers that we're all familiar with, there are actually four classes of lasers, classes 1 through 4. And a class 4 laser is a very broad category. You could buy industrial lasers that extend up to greater than 1,000 watts. That's an extremely bright light. I think for the listening audience, the best way to think of these lasers is it really just a very, very bright light. We're all familiar with the effects that these bright lights have on our retinas. When it comes time to the holidays we get our photograph taken, we get the dazzle effect. In mm-hmm. ophthalmology, we call that the macular photostress test. If we shine a bright light at a person, we know that their vision will reduce. Their ability to read the eye chart, for example, or see the instruments in an airplane is reduced. And in a normal individual, if the light is bright enough, it could last 50 to 60 seconds. So you could imagine that if the light did enter but didn't hit the eye, rather scattered around the cockpit, and it was of sufficient brightness, that it would dazzle the pilots and they would have a difficulty seeing their instruments for up to a minute. Now, we know that the older the individual, the longer the recovery time. So someone over 40 years old might have longer than a 50-second recovery on that photostress test. And if the patient or person had a little bit of macular degeneration, the most common cause of blindness in the United States, if they had some macular degeneration, their recovery time could be more than 3 minutes.
Obviously a major problem if you're trying to land a plane, though, as I understand it, most modern airliners have a button the pilot can push that go-around button. It automatically takes the plane around. So, but nevertheless, pilots are worried about this. In the case in Parsippany, New Jersey, the man allegedly pointed a green laser at this low-flying Cessna. What's a green laser?
Well, a green laser is typically a laser in the range of around 589 nanometers. This is the kind of laser that is used in astronomy to make images better using what's called adaptive optics. A green laser is a real common laser. It turns out that these are readily available by purchase. They can be purchased up to 1,000 watts. And it doesn't really matter the color of the laser as much as the fact that it has the dazzling effect on the pilot.
We're talking about lasers and the rash of incidents reported around the country, particularly over the holidays, of pilots reporting lasers being pointed at their aircraft. And we're speaking with Dr. Raymond Iezzi of the Kresge Eye Institute at Wayne State University. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, Doctor, I wonder, in your practice, have you ever encountered somebody whose eye has been damaged by one of these lasers?
You know, actually, laser eye injuries are most common in the industrial setting, where scientists or industrial workers would be using lasers for welding or other scientific experiments. More commonly, light damage is induced from the sun, where someone inadvertently looks at the sun for a long period of time, where we see these kinds of eye injuries, or they can be related to bright lights from, let's say, a surgical microscope.
Mm-hmm. The important thing to differentiate is these are different from the lasers that you and other eye doctors use in laser surgery.
Well, ironically, a laser that I might use to treat a patient with diabetic retinopathy, while it can restore vision or preserve vision, it could also be used to damage vision, and obviously a trained ophthalmologist, an IMD, is required to direct these lasers to very specific spots within the eye. However, we read and recognize faces with a portion of our retina that's no more than half a millimeter in diameter, and we tend to look directly at objects with that part of the eye, and if we were to look directly at a laser beam, it would hit us right where it hurts, and we could suffer some vision loss depending on, number one, the duration of the visualization of the light, number two, the power, and the color.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller on the line, and Scott's with us from Macomb Township in Michigan.
Doctor, I would like to know, the scanners that are used in supermarkets and other stores, the laser is pointed directly up, sometimes at an angle. How powerful are they, and can they do damage to the eye?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that question. I shop and I avoid those lasers myself. Those are probably class 2 lasers, and if you look at them long enough, you could wind up developing a problem. They're relatively low power, though, and they're actually, even though they appear to be entering your eye directly, they're usually entering the eye tangentially.
Or just don't buy a lot of food, Scott.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
Certainly.
Appreciate the phone call. The question being, as these become more, lasers are used in more and more applications. You mentioned CDs, and obviously just not the pointers. They're being used in all kinds of scientific and industrial applications. Do you expect that we're going to be seeing more kinds of these incidents?
Well, laser injuries wind up finding their ways to retina specialists such as myself. Unfortunately, they're rare because we educate the people who work with them on how to protect their eyes. Certainly, the misuse of these lasers can result in injury, and certainly I hope that that's not going to be on the rise. The proliferation of lasers in commerce, in our communities, is really, these are lasers that are enclosed in cases that are basically light-emitting diode-type lasers, and not really the high-power laser that we're talking about with regard to the aircraft incidents. So hopefully, if people aren't opening up their CD players or DVD players, we won't be seeing any more injuries of this nature.
But just getting back to this incident with the plane, you were talking about the beam of a laser, which is one of the reasons it's useful for all kinds of applications, is it doesn't it stays very narrow. Doesn't it diffract, spread out a little bit if it hits glass?
It certainly does. In fact, the atmosphere will reduce the brightness a little bit. And when it hits that cockpit, it's going to reflect partially off. So the cockpit glass is going to act as a beam splitter, and only a fraction of the light is going to enter the airplane. Now, this is an age-old problem in the Defense Department. I know that DARPA has been doing research in this area on how to keep pilots from suffering photo stress from lasers that are intentionally pointed at their fighter airplane cockpits. Lasers certainly can penetrate the aircraft glass and dazzle pilots, and in fact, some of the military lasers are so bright that they will, in fact, alter the mitochondria and the neurons of the retina, and could lead to permanent death of the retina. And I know that DARPA has been funding research in how to protect military people from the permanent effects of light damage from lasers.
So pilots are right to worry about this.
Well, I think that in the post 9/11 climate, given the the unusual things that we hear in our society. Any technology, a laser could provide life, and it could provide injury or death. I think we have to be aware of all the risks. We hadn't thought that we would have to worry about many of the things that we worry about now.
Hmm.
But certainly, I think that if a concerted effort were made on the part of some organization to target aircraft pilots, the technology is out there, and you know, they would have to be smart enough to use it. I certainly hope that doesn't occur.
Dr. Iezzi, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Raymond Iezzi is ophthalmologist and retinal specialist with the Kresge Eye Institute at Wayne State University. He joined us by phone from his office in Detroit, Michigan. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.